January 24th, 2022, Board of Commissioners meeting and Board of Equalization meeting.
In order, let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, roll call. Cherie?
Bob?
Here.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Here.
Troy?
Here.
All right, thank you. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. The first item on the agenda is public comment. Is there any public comment on any item not on the agenda? No? All right. Thank you. We will move to the consent agenda, which consists of approval of the previous meeting minutes from January 10th, approval of payroll claims for January 9th. I went over the payroll. Those are all in order. The approval of accounts payable, there is one that we're going to take out. And what do we call that one, Jolene?
It's the final pay application for the Jackson High Bridge.
Okay, that one we're going to take out of there and do just discuss that briefly. The approval of officials' reports, deeds, county clerk, and district court, approval of quarterly reports, jail and sheriff, and approval to designate the following bank as depository for Dakota County, with the maximum deposit being governed by securities pledged by institution, Bank First Bank, South Sioux City. So those items I would entertain a motion on.
So
second that.
Okay, motion by Scott, seconded by Janet. Call the roll, please.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes. Okay, the one item that I think we need to address, Jolene, and do you want to come forward just for some clarification? And do you want to let the board just kind of explain where we're at and why we're where we're at on that one?
Okay, so excuse me, the final payout we submitted for the Jackson High Bridge, and the engineer is coming back and he's wanting more money on it. So without a change order, kind of after the fact, the project's done, and now he's thinking he wants more money. So per recommendation from Kim and Mark Minnelli and Jeff Wagner, the engineers on the project, they would like us to go ahead and pay this, but to make you aware that he is going to be trying to get more money. We're not sure what steps he'll be taking or if even he'll pursue it further. I sent out an email this morning with Jeff's letter stating what he sent to Wayne Rock. So, like I said, I don't know where Mr. Rock is going to take this, but it's labeled the final payout, but I guess we'll see what you guys decide if he brings another claim to the board. But for now, to just pay
what's
what
owed.
We think he's owed.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like I said, I think we made this comment, or I made this comment, that Mr. Rock has been around the business for a long time, I do believe. And as far as for a change order, I think that he should have came to us if there's going to be something different. So I would say, you know, approve, obviously, what he has coming to him and whatever he thinks he has extra, let him, you know.
We'll address that down the line.
Yeah, let him... We'll figure that out, whatever route he goes. But, yeah.
Right, and I agree. And Kim, do you concur with that?
Yes.
Yeah, just pay the claim as stated, and although it's worded, I think it's worded final payment, maybe we can just...
And he refused to sign that.
Okay.
The engineer sent that to him, and he wouldn't sign it, but really, don't need a signature on that to pay it either. So.
Yeah, because just to clarify, so most times though, change orders are given before, not after. The final payment, right?
Well, I would think a change order happens before the work happens. Is that correct?
Yeah, they get permission to do those extra expenses and usually have their dollar amount on what they think is going to happen there. So.
Okay, so then we'll just, if it's okay, I'll make a motion.
Did you want to say something, Larry?
I was just going to say, what's the engineer's feelings on, did you say?
That we should just go ahead and pay what we think they are owed, and then see what steps Mr. Rock will take after this.
Because he is kind of the man in charge out in the field.
Mr. Wagner?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they had an engineer out there every day but one while they were doing the work, so they know everything he has done. So
this was a surprise to the person that was doing the work as well?
To the engineers, yeah.
Okay.
They were kind of shocked when they started coming through. So,
I don't know if something had happened, that paperwork was in process or something.
Well, the engineer, the first change, there was a change order for that work.
Correct. Yeah, there was. There was a change order put in for a little over $50,000, and I talked to some of you about that.
I remember something this summer.
Yeah.
But he came to the meeting for the jetting. Is what it was about, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, he was getting permission to do that, kind of explaining that the work was going to take longer.
Yeah, that's right, asking for an extension, wasn't that what it was?
And yeah, you're asking for an extension and all that. But the change order was over $50,000, but that was based on actuals. So in the end, the change order was only really approved for like $21,000 something, because it was based on unit measurements and actuals, so he didn't get that full $50,000. So that's kind of what we're thinking maybe the issue is now.
Yeah, so I do remember he was here saying he would have to be delayed because he had to get another piece of equipment or something. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to make a motion then we pay the claim just as submitted as is.
Okay.
No additional change. So I think we have to vote on that separately. Correct?
Yeah, if you pulled it out. Yeah.
Okay, so you made a motion, I'll second it.
Thank you. So motion and seconded by Scott to just pay as claimed that we have. Call the roll, please.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Thank you. We're going to move just one item quickly up to the next item. We'll go to 4D. Don Bosquet, treasurer, is here to submit the semi-annual report showing receipts and disbursements of the treasurer's office for the last 6 months ending December 31st. Don?
Okay. Does anybody have any questions regarding this information? The total cash is either in our safe cash box, the five drawers, or whatever we haven't taken to the bank yet, that figure. Motor vehicle online is processed, but it hasn't cleared the clearinghouse for the motor vehicle online yet, so we haven't physically received the money. That's money that's in transit. Credit cards, that amount is from the day before that has yet to clear our bank. So as of that date, that's what our balance is in our office.
Okay.
Any questions
for Don?
Is this an annual report that always is done?
Yeah, it's semi-annual.
Okay.
Yep, we do it every January and July.
Do you need a motion on that?
I think so. I think we do.
So moved on the report for the 6 months of Don for the monies, the semi-annual report. That's it.
Okay.
Second that.
Okay. Motion by Scott. Thank you.
Seconded
by Janet. Call the roll, please.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay, under new business, item A is approved resolution 22C005, certifying the subdivision final plat for Thramer subdivision, part of the southeast quarter of the southeast quarter of section 1T88N, R48W of the 5th PM, Dakota County, Nebraska, has been found to comply with the subdivision regulations. And acceptance and maintenance of all streets, utilities, and other public areas as indicated on said plat. And we have Mr. Thramer here. Do you want to address anything?
Well, I did provide a copy of the an excerpt for the council minutes in South Sioux City that was certified by the city clerk, showing that the South Sioux City Council has approved this. It's basically been approved all up and down their whole process. I don't know, I guess there was a little bit of question as to how this signed off. From what I talked to Ken Zimmerman today, and he said his anticipated process would be that the county would sign off, return the plat maps mm-hmm. to him, and then he would collect all the other signatures, provide a copy back to the county, and make sure it got filed.
Yeah, that's the way I understand it as well.
And but it has been approved by the city council, by planning and zoning. It's simply 14 acres that is behind my house. I'm adding an acre to my house because I do have that for sale. My neighbor is buying 2 acres. And there's a 10-acre acreage back there that additionally is for sale. Doesn't ask the county or the city to do anything. And this property's been zoned rural residential for 50 years. It's not converting any farm ground to residential or anything of that nature. It's always been zoned that way.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions from the board?
So there's nothing we would really need to do regarding roads or anything like
no.
this?
No, it's already done.
Okay.
And that's private, too.
Okay.
So you would have no maintenance, no nothing.
So we do have a resolution, though, on the table to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Troy, second by Larry to approve the resolution. Call the roll, please.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion or resolution approved.
May I ask one question? These plat maps, do I give them to Joan for signature?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, item B under new business is approve a resolution 22C002 fixing salaries for deputies of elected officers for the 2022 calendar year. Just a little bit of background for some of you other board members and the public. The handbook committee, I think Janet, if I remember correctly, started meeting, I don't know, several months ago, 6 months ago, whatever the case may be, looking at different things. And I guess one of the suggestions out of that was that we have in place steps which we've implemented some for our regular employees that would include longevity and
it was primarily longevity, and then we reviewed the levels for clerk one, clerk two, clerk's positions.
Yeah, so some of those were put in place in the handbook, and then as a result of that was that Janet did a lot of work and talked to quite a few counties actually that set the salaries for the deputies. In the past, or I guess as it sits today, the there's a lot of well, it's up to the elected official when they submit their budget asks for a salary for their deputy. The state law requires minimum 65% for their deputies. So if a deputy in any of the offices are making 65%, we are complying with state statute, and then anything over that. So in our situation, we have, I mean, I don't think we have anybody close to 65%. I think they're probably over 70, or we're in the 70 to 2 plus categories. So the Janet and I met Friday and tried to address some of the elected officials' concerns with the setting the deputy's salary. One of the things that that I look at is that it ties what this resolution on the table does. It ties into the elected officials' salary. So, for instance, our last meeting or a couple of meetings ago, I can't remember, the we approved the salaries for the next 4 years for the elected officials, and they're all 2.5% every year, 2.5%. So some years in the past, and I pointed that out Friday, I think it was, we met, or Thursday or Friday, that some years in the past, some of our deputies and regular employees got no wage increase. We had wage freezes. And the most I can ever remember was 2%. That I remember. So, anyway, so to me, the 2.5%. So I see, and I think I won't speak for Janet, but I think I would think that the deputy's salary would go along with that 2% guaranteed 2.5% right on down the line. I don't know how many counties, Janet, that you talked to that set wages for elected officials. Deputies.
So I had several samples of resolutions that actually similar to what we have here, where they actually established those salaries similar to this. This is kind of modeled after that.
So that is that's where we're at with this today. Other questions? Kim?
Is the copy that was sitting here the one that you're using?
I haven't got to that yet.
Because it doesn't have an attachment. That's why I wondered.
I think is it on the back, maybe? Is it on the back? Mm-hmm.
No. Just the attachment didn't change.
There is something on the back or something.
Yeah.
Well, if you're listing it by name.
This one.
What happens when someone resigns? Does the new employee come in? Because I've actually had someone resign over the disproportionate increases.
That, I think that was what we talked about at the meeting, is we talked about as, because there are several things that are to be determined yet as well, new hires to be determined, that we would have a conversation with the official and determine if they come in at 70 or, you know, depending on their experience and
right.
That sort of thing. Yeah, we know there has to be some flexibility in this based on
experience of the day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would hope.
Yeah.
Right.
Somebody that comes in, you know, with 10 years of experience wouldn't come in at 65, they'd come in at probably 70 or 75. Mm-hmm.
So the back page of this attachment A has a graph, or I guess the proper one is an Excel spreadsheet on on you know, some and maybe, Scott, do you have that on the back?
No, it's interesting.
No, okay.
That might have been from the last meeting. Was that
okay?
Last meeting?
But anyway, it lists each office from 1 year to 26 plus years experience, different levels that they would come in at. So we have something to go by for a new hire, for instance. Yeah, because I mean, if somebody. If we would lose, you know, Joan Spencer doesn't come back from Phoenix, well, she's an elected official. This is different.
So I got a question real quick here. And I've seen a lot of emails on this. And I know that laws and things change, et cetera, the lawmakers. But I always thought, and again, I think we went through this at the beginning of the year, that once you set the budget for the official, that they can do what they want with the money. Okay, that's the way I was taught back in 2010 when I first, you know, sat through the meetings and became elected official in 2011. But obviously that's changed. So my question is, what brought this all to the table? Is it Debs being so close to Kim? I mean, is that kind of what brought this all on? Is where she's at on her salaries?
No,
I'm just curious what brought it on.
And
like
what
I've seen a lot of emails. I'm trying to
right. And what I did point out too was at the meeting was that the current staff, nobody's taking a pay cut, you know. So where they're at is where they're at, and you know, but. I said more than once Friday, if we don't have something in place for longevity, et cetera, when they come in, so if in a nutshell, if we don't have anything, we don't have anything. It's all a crapshoot.
A free-for-all?
Free-for-all. Thank you. That's a better term. It's a free-for-all. So the... And I don't know, Scott, to be honest with you, if I'm not sure if the law changed. The elected official, it's their office, their money. But to just if I want to give you the county's got a pretty big budget. If I want to give you a $20,000 pay increase, you might deserve it, but there's laws that I can't do that. And the board has to sign off on those raises. Any raises, whether it's a quarter or $20,000, the board has to sign off on.
And I think there was some confusion, too, over the, you know, there was some confusion about that very point, and that's when we worked with council to determine that 23-1204 is the one that is the one that applies in this, the deputy positions.
I would like to know what departments are at 70%, because I know my department is not at 70%. He had said earlier about that they were at 70%.
Yeah, they're
well, the law is 65 minimum. So as long as it's 65, anything over that is us, really.
So we're at that point where you're doing it. Yeah, I guess.
Listen. I'll ask if I need some feedback. Okay, but we're not going to have this back and forth with the audience. Right now, we're talking to the board. I appreciate your help. And you can definitely come up when called.
I guess my concern would be that if, say, you had a favorite, and you had three or four employees.
Right.
And you had a favorite, and you give them the majority of what you had in the budget, and the other two didn't get that much, or even close, you'd be looking for help all the time.
Right.
I would think.
And again, that has to be signed off on the by the board. If you had somebody, that you gave all the money to, every raise that comes through has a pink sheet, for lack of other.
Okay,
other.
If I may, real quick.
Go ahead.
Don, okay, as a county treasurer, you're at 61,565.95. And Stephanie, as your deputy, she's at 42,284. That's it. Shows here of 68.68%.
I thought they were 70%.
Okay.
Well, I was hoping.
Well, then you got, you know, even Karen for district court as a deputy, she's at 66.29. And I mean, there is a variance, no question about it. You know, Deckard's. You know, Tim Decker's at 97.08, you know, from the sheriff. And, you know, Deb's at 94. Melinda's at 70%. You know, so there is a, I don't know, it's, I think we're treading, me personally, I understand things got to get approved through the board, but I think we're treading in shallow water, I think. That's just my opinion.
That's good, then you won't sink.
Yeah, you're not going to drown.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I just hate to see the percussion, you know, what could take place. And again, you know, we don't know what each office does and what they deserve to have. We don't know as a board. Unless you went up there and sat with, you know, each elected official in their office, you don't know right down what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is Deckard, is he, should he be at 97? I can't answer that. You know, should Kim be at 94? I can't answer that. Or not Kim, but Deb. You know, there's a lot of things that I can't answer about that. So as I said, I just think that.
And we did visit about having ongoing conversations about situations where people take on extra responsibilities, retain extra education, whatever it might be. That would justify the bumps, and we could talk about those when it's budget time. But we thought this was a good first step in recognizing the longevity of our staff and
as long, towards that. Right, as long as it's in writing, because you got to remember, this board changes all the time.
Right.
You know, and different people come in, they have different ideas. So.
And Kim made a good point, too. Different people, you know, the names of these people are the ones that are here currently, but as they change with different experience levels, it would make sense to review that. And like I said, the reason this came up is because there was some confusion about how that all played out, and we found out that this is the guiding.
Yeah, something had, that's what I was just trying to figure out, was how did this trigger? Because all of a sudden, here comes the emails and et cetera, and I'm thinking, you know, what has this going? You know, is it the two deputies that are making, you know, above 90% of what, you know, the actual elected officials are? Because this has been a topic that's been going on for years.
Actually, what was triggered, it was the lawsuit that was filed, Watson versus Dakota County, and the ruling that came back indicated the board does have the ability to set the salaries.
Well, it was dismissed, so I don't know that the judge actually ruled.
Was that the one recently?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the judge dismissed it.
I thought they had, my indication is it was found that these were the statutes that were guiding.
Because one of the things, Scott, that Janet found out from dealing, or you know, when you start looking at what other counties do, is that a lot of them do set the salaries. And so when you ask, I mean, we're not reinventing the wheel here. We're just going by state statute and things like that. And it's always been, I don't know that the law has changed.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know, but I think it's always, I don't know how long people been doing it, but they have.
Well, the only thing I always knew there was a minimum. And listen,
mm-hmm.
I know that's the best way to get your knowledge and what you need to know is what other counties do. And it's easy to obviously to look and say, okay, well, you got this county that is pretty much the same land evaluation as us, or they got the same motor vehicles, they got the same population. But again, not to beat the same drum all the time, that we are in a different category from Timbuktu that's out in the middle of Nebraska. That might be the same of everything with us joining what we joined.
Right.
So that's the only thing.
Now, you make a good point. And I said that's why we did talk about redoing this with the officials as budget time came around. And I think this is a good start. So I'll make a motion that we approve Resolution 22C-002 with the thought that we will continue to work with them with budget and changes in their staffing.
Which draft?
They have a...
So the initial, just let me explain, the initial resolution was what Joan sent out with the packets, and then Kim had submitted to Bob an alternate one, so I laid that there in case that was entertained by you guys. So that was just a proposal that Kim had sent.
I didn't see that one. Which one?
It was laying on the table when you came in.
Well, because I don't believe you can amend a resolution. Much like the elected officials, that one said. And so when, during that meeting, when we talked about being able to have conversations and possibly change these, I don't think that this allows you to do that without language stating so.
Before we get any further, Randy, did you want to address the board?
Yeah, I think one question was answered already, and that is what brought it about. My second question is, you guys keep referring to the law. When I looked it up earlier, 23-114 says, the salaries of all deputies in the offices of the elected officers of the county shall be fixed by the county board at such times as necessity may require. What necessity requires it now?
Well, it's always been an option.
Yeah. Yeah. But it says, as necessity requires. If it's not broke, why are we changing it? What necessity requires it at this point? Why is it necessary now? That's my question.
Okay.
Every year when we go through the review process, you mean?
No, you keep saying the law. The law says, at such times as necessity may require. What's requiring it now? Because none of you that I know of, and correct me if I'm wrong, have went around to each office, sat in there and shadowed them for 3, 4, 5 days to even get an idea what they're doing. How can you determine what somebody should make when you don't even know what they do for a job? I mean, have any of you sat over, you've said Decker's name a few times. Has anybody spent a week with Decker to see what he does? To see if he does a good job?
Well, he did much better on wages. He'd be more than the sheriff.
I'm not saying he's getting the correct pay or incorrect pay. I'm saying a board that has no clue what these people are doing wants to take the power away from the person that hired them and is supervising them all the time. For example, Scott, you're in business for yourself. Larry, you are. What would you say if your banker came in and says, I'm going to determine what you pay your employees? You're not going to do it. You guys are the ones knowing what they're doing, whether they're doing the right job. How does sitting on this board qualify you to know what everybody else does better than their boss?
Can I touch base on that?
Yes.
And I just did. And
yes.
Again, I can't answer that question because I don't know. And I don't know, and I'm shooting from the hip here. I don't know if when the last raises went or when Kim, I'm just going to point you out because, you know, it is what it is. You know, when she put the raises down and then all of a sudden they denied it and all of a sudden it gets become, you know, a Watson versus Dakota County, you know. So I don't know if that started it, you know, but that.
And if you look at that ruling, the judge didn't give a ruling. He gave an opinion and dismissed the case. But
how's it going to go any further?
You'd have to ask the judge that. And it probably could if Kim chose to either appeal or refile it. I don't know the limits on that process, so I'm not in the legal field. I don't know. But you've already lost, since this started, one employee. Ms. Wicks has gave a resignation in a position where it took, I believe, over a year to find the last one.
Maybe she didn't like the idea she wasn't getting near as much as a deputy.
There was never a problem with her before. That's it. I was just wondering if anybody could explain how the board members are better qualified than the people running the office.
Thanks, Randy.
Thank you.
Come on up. Could we have your name and address for the record?
Kristen Robinette. I live on Elgin Avenue in South Sioux City. So most of my questions were answered. One was, do you know what a prosecutor does? Because if there's a crime committed and a police officer arrests somebody and there's not a prosecutor sitting up there to handle what that police officer dropped this offender off at the jail for, then they go away and they go back to what they're doing. Have any of you ever sat in a courtroom and watched them work? Have any of you walked into their office and seen the piles of files on their desks? They're this big and there's multiple files.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong here real quick, not to interrupt you, but if we don't have the people there, then it just becomes appointed attorneys. And that gets expensive,
no,
correct?
$95 an hour.
And I remember when I was a chair and I stamped a lot of claims, and it adds up in a hurry. Of appointed.
It's not going to be anything like what you're paying now.
I understand.
The question about Mindy leaving because she doesn't make as much as Deb. Mindy doesn't have near as many years as Deb does. Deb's been here for 23 years. Mindy's a fabulous attorney, and you just lost a lot of experience. And I believe it's because of pay, not over jealousy of what Deb's making. I have sat in a courtroom with both of those attorneys for 6 to 7 years as a probation officer, and they're fabulous. And Mindy's one of the best I've ever seen, and she's gone. You were speaking of your case being dismissed. That means nobody won. It's gone. So the board didn't win that case. It's dismissed. It's gone. Nobody won it.
Yes, when I read this, it seems as though that they're saying that it appears that this... is not the court is not persuaded that there is any ambiguity exists in the statutes according to who is to fix the salary of deputy county attorneys. There's no ambiguity. It quotes the statute says the county attorney may appoint with the approval and consent of the board one or more deputies who shall receive such compensation as shall be fixed by the county board to assist with the duties.
So basically
there's no ambiguity is what the
basically it's saying
statute said.
It's like it is now. But why isn't she free to use her budget as she wants to use her budget? If she has the budget to give a raise, why can't she give a raise?
I recall, I think we did give the raise to
Mindy. Yes.
Yeah. It was the Deb one that we denied. So, yeah, that was the direction that this...
Deb's been here since 1999. Yeah. Public defender just has been here for 10 years, received an 18% raise. These deputy attorneys, they're on call at night. They take calls, coroner calls in the middle of the night, calls on search warrants, calls on, if they respond to, if a police officer responds to a child custody issue. Anytime a police officer has a legal question, they call this phone 24 hours a day, on call. If Deborah Fergan were to go to Woodbury County right now, she would be making over $20,000 more than what she's making here. And basically, that's basically all I have, other than they do have 8 years of school as compared to most jobs with experience or a four-year degree. She has 23 years here. Comes to work at 6 o'clock in the morning. On call 24 hours. It's not the same as the other offices here. I highly recommend you going to their office and sitting in the courtroom.
Thanks, Kristen. Anybody else? Any questions on that? Just a comment. There is nobody questioning the work that these people do in their offices. They're all busy. Every office is busy. And I guess I just want to point out that, as I said before, we are not reducing anybody's pay. So if the question would be why are we taking money from the deputy in the office, we're not. There's nobody going backwards in this deal. There are parameters set with longevity for pay increases for every office. And as I said before, I've only been around here 11 years, but sometimes it was zero. I think there was a couple times it was zero. So it wouldn't be zero. But I certainly understand, Scott, where you're coming from on elected officials and their office and things like that. But our job as the board is really only one thing, and that is the budget. And that's what we have to look at. And right or wrong, we are not reinventing the wheel. It's being done. And with these things in place, I think it's a good step forward. So, any other questions, comments, board? Janet made a motion on resolution A as it reads.
That was the original one.
That was the original.
I'll second.
All right. Motioned by Janet, seconded by Troy. Call the roll, please.
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
No.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Too confused to go one way or the other. I have a lot of unanswered questions, but that's fine. We could talk about this all afternoon, but it's time to move on.
Thank you. Item C. Where's some insurance? Presentation of 2021 claims history for health and dental insurance for Mid-American Benefits, Inc. and requesting approval for health insurance stop-loss contract renewal. Don and Robert are here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Robert Rapp with Interstate Insurance in New York Life in South Sioux City, and my cohort, Don Faber. I think everybody knows Don. Normally, our third party would be here, who's actually our third party administrator, Matt Willenweber. He was here Thursday, and we had a very productive meeting with the insurance committee, the newly formed insurance committee, and plowed a lot of ground there too as well. So we won't get too deep into that. We do have some good news with it to deal with, as I think all of you are aware of, some of the benefits. There were some caps on some of the benefits. We've been able to raise some of those limits and everything else. We'll get into that in more detail. So there is some good news, and Don's going to go over the and I've got packets for everybody, and Don's going to go over the actual renewal itself. So without further ado, I'll leave it up to Don.
Okay.
And I'll give you, and I've got one of these for each of the board members.
All right.
Well, good afternoon.
Hello.
We appreciate the opportunity to visit with you, and we will be brief. We are representing Matt Willenweber at Mid-American Benefits, and as Robert suggested, we did have an opportunity to meet with the insurance committee and some employees this last week, and I would like to particularly thank Troy for being there and for asking a lot of questions, and those are good questions. Those are the kinds of things that give us a barometer as to where we need to go and the kind of communications we need to have. I heard Scott say a little bit earlier, the board changes all the time. Well, not everybody's up to speed on all the things that you need to have, the information you need to have to make decisions. So I'd like to kind of start out with just a quick question for you. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing self-funded? Why don't we just go get a plan from Blue Cross or from United or from Aetna? Why are we doing this? Well, there's really two reasons. Number one is financial. It's proven that large groups are better off to have self-funded. The other thing is information and data, because the more information and data you have, the better decisions that you can make. And so that's the reason that you do that. And I'll be happy to later on show you financially what I'm talking about and validate that type of information. One of the things we learned at the meeting was that not everybody's on board as to how all this works. So if you'll forgive me, I'm going to take 2 minutes and kind of go over stop-loss 101. We talk about self-funding, that's a misnomer. It's not self-funding, it's stop-loss. Because self-funding means you self-fund the whole thing, and you do not do that. You have contracts that you write, you know, that pick up some of the exposure. I know Scott's familiar with it, and I know Bob's familiar with it. We started this in 2005, and it saved you money each and every year. I can't guarantee the last five because I wasn't involved, but for the first years we were, you saved money each and every year. If I have a dollar, and I give that to the insurance company takes it, and it gives you a policy, okay? That dollar is never coming back. For each and every dollar that you send out, the insurance company keeps it. If you have a good year, they made some good money. If you have a bad year, they take a little bit of a loss. But for the most part, they keep that dollar, it's gone. As Robert's dad used to say, that money just leaves the building. So what happens in stop loss is that you have 20, out of that dollar, you take 20 cents and you fund the fixed cost for a plan. You fund the insurance policies, you fund the utilization review, you fund a network, and you fund all of the things that need to be funded out of that 20 cents. The 80 cents then goes to claims, okay? And so if you spend more than that, that's what the stop-loss contracts are for. You have two contracts. One is for specific, meaning specific individuals, where at right now you are contracted to pay the first $50,000 in claims for every individual. Okay? Insurance company picks it up after that. The second contract is called an aggregate. That means if all of the claims that are under $50,000 equal more than, let's say, $1.4 million, then the insurance company is going to pick that up. So, in other words, you're not self-insured your stop-loss contract. Those make sense. So, that's kind of the overview, and that's the reason that you do that. We have good information. We have you have an independent contractor in Mid-American Benefits who works strictly for you and not for insurance companies. And so I want to start out, if you would, on the left side of your packet. You'll see that there is a list of the carriers that Matt went out to quote for. Okay, there are 20 of those carriers. So he's doing his due diligence. Rather than you going out for bid each and every year, he's going out for bid for you. And he has the information. He also has the clinical data, the claims data, because as a large group, if you were fully insured or if you're stop-loss and self-funded, you're going to get underwritten. And what does that mean? That means you have to disclose each and everything that's wrong and your medical conditions. And so the underwriters, they'll jack it up. I mean, they write it up so they don't take losses. That's how it works. Out of the 20, there were 15 declines. 5 decided not to quote. There were, 5 quotes. One that was the incumbent, and 4 others were there that were higher and they had more lasers. And so we'll talk about that in just a little bit. On the right side of your packet, if you'll pull that first one out, it's a report called Employee Benefit Plans, Enrollment and Claim Summary. Basically shows that at the very bottom, it's like Matt always talks about, it's report bingo. If you look at column B from the top clear down to the bottom on line 38, there were $815,000 worth of claims that got paid for that. $72,000 worth of prescription drugs for a total of $926,000. If you look at column G at the very bottom, line 38, you'll see that the carrier picked up $240,000. Okay? And those were claims that were over $50,000. So they picked up $240,000. You'll see an aggregating specific column of $30,000, and an aggregating specific is simply a trade-off. For a $30,000 reduction in your premium, the carrier says, okay, we'll reduce your premium by $30,000 if you pick up the first $30,000 in claims over $50,000. You're trading a fix for a maybe. It's a no-brainer because you might not have the claims. Now, in this case, you did, but you might not, and there have been years when you didn't. So why not take the fixed cost break when you can do that? So if you go to the next, flip over to the next one, you'll see that this is it says aggregate stop-loss report. Okay, this is a report that goes to the stop-loss carrier, and you get the value, you get the opportunity to have this information because of the fact that you are stop loss, whereas you're not going to get this from an insurance company. If you look at column F at the very bottom down to line 32, you'll see the monthly funding was $712,000. Okay? If you look at column K, you can see the total paid claims were $887,000. If you look at column N, line 32, you can see that the carrier picked up $240,000. And you look at line GQ, you can see that you paid your $30,000 in your aggregating specific. Now look across at line, 36, it shows loss ratio of 86.55. What does that mean? Well, that's basically a loss ratio. The insurance companies look at that. And for large groups, they look at an 85%. Okay, they expect to have a 15% margin in there if you are fully insured. For small groups, it's 80-20. For large groups, it's 85-15. Okay, but you're at right now 86.55. Now, here's the irony of all this, and I remember going way back when you had a horrific year. I mean, you had an atrocious year, but the county saved $225,000, and that's because the carrier took a big hit. If you look at the very bottom, on line 40, column R, you'll see where it says carrier liability, client savings. Believe it or not, you're $95,809 to the good right now. Okay? Even though it hasn't been a good year, you've had some really bad claims. But the fact is, you're still to the good. That's why you do stop loss. The next report is just, if you flip it over, the next report is the employee medical RX plan summary, cost summary. And this one just kind of gives you an idea, overview. On column F, line 27, shows that the specific premium that you paid was $234,000. And if you look at column P, line 27, you'll see that the carrier paid $240,000. So the carrier's upside down. Okay? But they came back. Now, they're going to ask for an increase, but at least they came back. In 2005, when I first started working with this group, nobody wanted your group. Well, the insured didn't want it, and we took you to self-funded, and that's how we got started. And it's been a savings ever since. But I just wanted you to see that because I think it's imperative that you understand that the carrier is taking a bath, but they're still back, and they're not trying to get it all back at once. They know that if they do that, you're not going to.
Are we supposed to feel sorry for them?
No. Yeah. I'll tell you a quick story.
They'll get her back.
That's the idea. I'll tell you a quick story. One year, I don't remember when you built the jail, 2006.
7-8.
You were probably here at that time or somewhere in that neighborhood. You added a whole lot of young guys at that time. And so all of a sudden, your group became real attractive to underwriters. Okay? Because young men and are healthy and usually don't go to the doctor and they don't have a lot. So anyway, the incumbent carrier said, we're going to lower your rates $100,000. Well, we shopped. So we found a carrier that would lower $200,000. And they came back complaining. Well, they would have jumped at the chance for $100,000 savings. And our response was, we don't work for you. We work for the county. You want it or don't you? And they took it. But that's the idea. You've got Matt working for you, trying to do all of the things that he knows how to do and is really best at doing it. So your dental is the last report. It says employee dental plan cost summary. Basically, you're a little behind, about $1,700, because that is strictly a self-funded. There is no stop loss on that. The actual stop loss is the amount of benefit each person has. Okay, I think it's $1,250, something like that. So that's the actual stop loss, and you're a little behind on there. The $1,700 is not atrocious. You may need to adjust that a little bit. But the rates on this, if you look at it, are like $31 a single and $72 for family. Commercial rates are anywhere from $35 to $40 a single and over $122 for family. So you can see that's a no-brainer. Any questions on those? Let's take a look at your renewal. And I will tell you that it's not the worst one you've ever seen, for those of you who've been here a while, but it's not good. Okay?
Not good, but not bad.
But not as bad as it has been. Let's talk a little bit. Let's take a look at the first column, F. And I want you to go down to...
Which one is the down?
I'm sorry, on the left side.
This one.
I'm sorry, left side. In fact, there should be a...
Oh, left? Okay.
Should be one more yellow sheet.
One back this way.
I should say Dakota County Group Health Plan Rate Analysis. Okay. If you look at column F, that's your current plan. It's with U.S. Benefits and American National as a carrier. U.S. Benefits is the managing general underwriter, and they have the authority to underwrite. To tie up the insurance company, which is American National out of Texas. Okay, if you look at it, you can see under line 13, it says specific attachment, $50,000. The next line is your aggregating specific, and again, that's the $30,000 they lowered your premium by if you accept that first $30,000 in all claims over $50,000. Okay? If you look at the renewal, and then let's go down to line 24, okay? Your fixed cost, or that 20% that we talked about for this contract period, was $295,000, okay? And again, I'm told that the numbers will vary a little bit because of you've added some people. So this is what the census that we started quoting at was 77 and 16. I understand it's now like 83 and 15.
Was the last one 235-ish?
I wasn't here, so I don't know.
From your other information, I thought we had a cost on there.
That was probably the what you paid year to date, because this is only 10 months worth of claims data.
Thank you.
Okay, so if you look at that, and then I want you to go to the next column, which is G, If you have the same contract that you have today, you'll notice there is the $50,000 specific attachment in line 13, the aggregating specific in line 14, and then you'll notice lasers 1 and lasers 2. Now, what is a laser? If you have people with some serious problems and have large claims, you've got one of two ways to take care of that. Remember I said you're a large group, you're going to get underwritten no matter where you go? Well, underwriters will give you the opportunity to put a laser on an individual. And that what that says is that you pay more for that individual. Okay? Or we're going to take that cost and spread it out for everybody. And so we like the lasers because sometimes they don't happen. If they give you a rate increase on everybody, you're going to pay it. So in most cases, the lasers don't happen. And I say that. I don't have the statistics to prove it right now. But in most cases, they don't happen to the cost factor that they show here. Okay? So you'll notice you have two people with lasers. Laser 1 is $275,000. And laser 2 is $330,000. Those are some serious claims. That's why the rate increase is so high. Those are some serious issues. And the underwriters know they're ongoing. They have all the claims data. They have all the diagnosis and prognosis for all of these kinds of things. So if you go then down to line 24, the annual specific premium cost jumps from $295 to $340. Okay? That's a 15.5% increase. Now, I will tell you that the trend right now, medical inflation trend, is about 8%. Okay, it runs, Matt will tell you that it runs from 6.9 to 9.3, and so roughly about, fully insured, they've been looking at roughly 8%. So this is about 7.5% above, but it's all claims driven. Okay? Because the carrier's upside down, and they're probably going to be more upside down before we get all done. I want you then to go down to the line 51, the annual fixed cost, and you'll see that it was $344,800 going to $394,700. That's 14.46. Okay. What they do then is they add in your expected claims and give you the expected claims and they give you the maximum claims. The maximum claims take into consideration your aggregate contract, meaning when the carrier is going to kick in and overall. So if you go down to line 68, the annual maximum cost for this year, if you look at column F, line 68, the annual maximum cost was $1.2 million. The annual max cost for renewal at the same benefit level, at the same specific level, is $1.4 million. That is 14%. Okay. Now, if you go down here to look at the line 84, you look at the annual expected costs, and you'll see those are lower. Okay. Why are they lower? Because what the carriers do is they say, we think you're going to have $1.2 million in claims, or in this case, we think you're going to have $1.2 million. You take the next 25%, and we'll take everything after that. Understand that with the Affordable Care Act, when it came in, carriers have an unlimited liability. Used to be any contract, even a fully insured contract, you had $1 million worth of claims, then it went to $5 million, then all of a sudden it went to infinity. So if you're a carrier, you're on the hook for, I mean, unbelievable amount of money. So basically that is a 14, the expected is a 14%. Now what I'd like you to take a look at is the column H, okay? What's the difference between column H and column G? Well, that's another renewal option by taking the specific up to 60,000 instead of 50. Now, I know that you went from 35 to 50. I do know that. You were at 35 for way too long because with medical inflation, you got to remember if it costs $100 to go to the doctor and next year it's 108 and you don't change your plan, carrier's going to take it all. So what are they going to do? They're going to raise your rates. So you got to share in the risk. So if you look at this, column H basically shows on line 24, you go from 295 to 300,000. Okay, that's a 1.9% increase compared to 15.5. Okay. The interesting thing about that is if you go down to 958 and you look at the annual maximum costs, they're not that much difference, $4,000. If you look at line 68, G and H, there's only about $4,000 difference between the max costs. Now, what are you saving at that level up there? Well, you're saving $40,000 in premium. Now, look at the underwriter, look at the laser liability. Your laser liability drops from 330 to 310. There's another $20,000. So there's $60,000 worth of fixed costs that you won't have to pay. And if you maxed out, it's only going to cost $4,000 more. Now, to my knowledge, and I don't have the data from the last 5 years, but you have never maxed out.
No. I know. We've never had a max out.
Never maxed out.
No.
So does that make sense to trade off and save $60,000 in hard dollars for the baby? We think so.
Mm-hmm.
Because with medical inflation the way it is, and it's hitting pretty hard, and regular inflation is putting pretty hard, we think that's a pretty fair trade-off, that you can save $60,000. Now, why is the laser the way it is? You have to remember the laser includes your specific, okay? So that's why when you raise your specific deductible by $5,000, it lowers the laser because you're already paying another $5,000. So we think that makes sense, that's what you need to do. I want you to take a look, and let's just assume for a moment that you decide between G and H. If you look down at the expected costs for single, is 812 and 810 for H, the higher level. I want to give you a couple of examples. Remember I said I'd give you the information that will show you what it looks like for saving money from a fully insured. I'm going to give you two examples, one from a small group. I'm going to pass that around. This is a from a small group, what it shows, their age rated, okay? Scott's familiar with that because the law enforcement center is age rated. They don't underwrite, they just age rate. By the way, the average age for your group is 48. Now, I picked up a Blue Cross and Blue Shield quote, this is a hard quote, for a $1,750 deductible. Now, that's $500 more than your plan. For a 48-year-old, this is as of January 1, it's $807 a month. By the time you get to 58, it's $1,258. And the composite rate, which means that Blue Cross put together for a whole group, will give you a composite rate, is $839.99. Okay? And that's without underwriting. And underwriting is a big factor. The second one I want to share with you, and I'd like this to end up with Troy, if we could.
Scott.
This is there's been a lot of interest in NACO, and they've tried every year to come in and take a look at, and there's the Nebraska Association of Counties. They use a fully insured Blue Cross plan. I have the rate sheet for last year from July 1, okay, for a $1,500 deductible plan. The single rate was $939, okay? Now, that's before you get to underwriting. If you go to underwriting, and what Matt tells us is they generally will rate it up by 30% with the claims history that you have, that takes it up to $1,200 for a single. I'm just giving you the single rates because you have the majority of your folks are single. Also, I put attached here, and the reason I'm picking on Troy is because he asked about this, and that's the right thing to do. But I want to show you statistically, we said we'd prove that's not a good option for you. But if you want to route this around, give you the data. And by the way, the NACO rates were July 1 of last year, so they're going up again this year. In July. So those were as of last year's rates. So you can see by comparison, the stop loss is by far the better option for you. Okay? Questions? I know we're in a kind of a time crunch. I don't want to take any more of your time than we have to.
The piece of good news that I mentioned when we started off was some of you are aware there is a cap on certain prescriptions. Some of the real high-end prescriptions, there was a cap on there. did affect some of your staff here, and I think it affected some people, swept some people in that was not intended to sweep people into, and that was a concern we talked about at the insurance commissioner, the insurance commission meeting or committee meeting. Matt had already worked that number up to $15,000 limit. He went back to the insurance company and said, would you go to $20,000 without affecting these rates at all? And they agreed to that as well. So I don't think we're going to have any I know Dawn had one of her staff people was affected, and some other people were affected too. So I think that will allay a lot of those fears because again, that is only on very high-end prescriptions. It only affects a handful of people, and unfortunately, it affected too much of the hand. The hand got a little too full, let's say that, last year. So we did want to remedy that without making a big change in the premium.
There's one other thing that Matt did that brought this year that you should be aware of, and that is that there's a program through Magellan that if you have specialty drugs, and the specialty drugs are those that are over $1,000, usually injectables, and they're horrifically expensive. If you have any of those, Magellan has a plan where they will take over and manage the individual account for the individual, get them help from various different benevolent organizations, and the cost of that is 30% of the drug. So in other words, instead of the county paying 100% of the drug, the county would pay 30%, and that's automatic for anybody that has, because they'll notice that there's a high dollar drug, which is a specialty drug, and they will notify and get a hold of the people. And the nice part of it is it's usually at no cost to the employee, which is a good benefit. But it saves the county 70%.
Is that in place now?
Yes.
It is.
Yes. So those are things that Matt has done. I'm very impressed with Matt. He's very analytical, and he's done a really good job for all the clients that we've had. And there are some other changes that need to be made at the county level, but we need time to get them implemented. So we want to bring you up to speed and make sure you're in compliance with all the things that are needed to be done. So my question to you is, do you have questions regarding this? Because we'd like to have you get a motion and approve it. And the reason for that is if we can do this now before the end of the month, it will stop the underwriting. Okay? Now what that means is that you're locking the carrier in. They're not necessarily locking you in. Okay, and so it's kind of a one-way deal. But if we can stop the underwriting, that way if something pops up this week or next week, anytime in February, because your contract isn't up until the end of February, that they can't underwrite anymore. So it protects the county. But we do need a signature with that. So
Do we have what we need from you to proceed with that?
Yeah, I got your stuff.
You have that?
Yep.
Just needs a signature.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, if you have to answer any questions
What's the impact of the lasers? I mean, what are the lasers, how do they impact us? How do they impact our planes?
Those lasers mean instead of paying, I'm gonna just take the first laser in column G. That means instead of paying $50,000 for laser number one, you're gonna pay $275,000. That's your deductible. Okay. And the underwriters put that in there, knowing what's coming in terms of the high claimants. But if you and you may or may not have it, but if you didn't, that $275,000 would be spread in the other rates. It'd be spread across the entire rate base. So that's why we like lasers.
So the people that are insured will still get
coverage. Oh yeah, it doesn't affect them. Exactly. No, it has no effect on the individual employee or their dependents or whoever. You do have some families on here as well. It does not affect them at all. No, it's just it's an internal way to hopefully, like Don said, if that claim does not come to fruition or does not get to that limit, you're not having to pay for that, because if you spread it among everybody else, you're paying for it down the road.
But those are two that you have that are known cases.
Two large claims.
Claims. Yeah.
And the prescription went from $10,000 to $20,000 without any increase.
Correct. Right. And we think based on, I mean, that was an issue with employees. I think Troy can verify that was an issue that a lot of employees had. And we probably wouldn't have done that. I wasn't here at the time, probably wouldn't have recommended doing that, but we had to take it over and get it done as soon as we could. So that's one of the things we're trying to get corrected.
And one of the things I was, you know, having worked with the payroll and accounts payable the last year, it seemed like we really had a cash flow issue with the, so that kind of concerned me a little bit that we're going up from 50 to, or you're suggesting we go from 50 to 60, because I think that was really something that we really ran into this year.
G makes more sense.
Had to borrow
for
from.
For money-wise. Yes or no?
Borrow from. Well, we were at G and we struggled, I'm telling, is what I feel like happened. Mm-hmm. We were at G, column G, and we struggled.
I
we went from 35 to 50.
G, yeah.
Last year we went from 35 to 50 and we struggled.
H is not an option.
I don't know if it is or not. I just want to make the point that that was...
Right.
We had, or their paybacks weren't coming back as quickly, or something in the cash flow.
I can't speak to that because I didn't. Matt could do that. It might be the fact that the claims came in quickly before you had a chance to book the amount that you set aside.
We were writing pretty big checks.
And
we
take
getting reimbursements.
You know, out of every payroll, there's just a certain amount put into our health account, and. We're struggling cash flowing that right now because we have these high dollar claims. So
that's a timing issue then. I mean,
it's an issue of you've had about 2 or 3 years of some very high claims. Now, like Don's always talked about, out of 5 years, one's a train wreck, one's a rosebud, and there's three that are in between. Unfortunately, you've had about 3 train wrecks in a row. And again, that's out of our control. It's out of your control, unfortunately. But that's where we're going, and Scott, to answer your question, is column H is there something we can control? We can control the fixed costs. And that's what we're trying. That's why we are making the recommendation of going to the higher limit and to keep up with medical inflation. Because unfortunately, medical inflation just keeps going up. Unfortunately,
so that's a 20% increase in our self-insured or self-funded. Then is that right? Going from 50 to 60?
No. Basically, if you go 50 to 60, you're dropping from a 15.5% increase to 1.9%.
Oh, I see. I was looking at the we're responsible for.
Yeah, so that's what I think.
So there are $60,000 in hard dollars there that you're going to pay if you don't make the switch. And if you look at, you're only $4,000 difference in the maximum cost at the bottom, so that's why it makes some sense to do that, because it's hard dollars. You're trading a fix for a maybe. And unfortunately, the claims are the claims. I mean, we try to remind people when they first start talking about stop loss that, you know, MidAmerican doesn't create the claims. They just simply pay them. They are what they are. And this is, you know, the human race has problems, and some people have more issues than others. And so you're trying to balance it out as best you can. But to Robert's point, we can't control what you do internally, how much money you set aside, how much money is in the pool, how much is in the reserve, or whether it's, you know, whether you've used it all. We can't determine that. The only thing we can tell you is that as a commissioner, you have a fiduciary responsibility, which means you can't not pay your claims. You have to pay your claims. So.
You two are on the insurance committee, right? Yeah.
Scott, you didn't make the last meeting, did you? So it was me.
The one at 10:30 last week. Okay.
So the insurance, Troy, do you have a recommendation from the insurance committee then on?
Well, everybody would like to hear on the Madison part, for sure. That's way better. That helped a lot of people out.
Yeah, I think that's a
big thing.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest drivers was that prescription benefit. Mm-hmm. Scotty,
because if you look at the age, if you go from the 50 to the 60, mm-hmm. and if you look at the monthly expected cost or the annual, you know, it might justify itself. Do you see that or not?
Which column? Which number are you looking at?
I'm looking at 84, and I'm looking at 12 on age, or
okay.
13 on age, I think, or 14. I don't know. The one that's highlighted. How does that sound?
Okay.
Yep.
You know, and I think. I think the recommendation, what you guys are saying, like you said, you guys don't know internally of what monies are set. I get that, but you guys are pretty heavy on H, aren't you?
We talked to Matt about that and said, okay, what are other counties do? He has a lot of counties.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, what are they doing? And basically what it amounts to is you're helping to share the risk with the carriers, and they like that because basically otherwise it's all them. And that's why there's that much difference. So, I mean, it's up to you. If you want to stay where you are, that's entirely up to you. And I don't have to deal with the internal issue of the revenue. I don't have to deal with that. All I look at is from the outside is what is it going to cost you. I mean, that's a lot of money. When you start talking about $1.4 million, you're talking about a lot of money. So I don't have to deal with that. I'm just trying to give you the overview of what's the best statistically for you in terms of trying to give your employees the benefits that you're giving them.
I guess, well, if you look at the annual expected cost, I guess, in line 84, mm-hmm, between G&H, and mm-hmm, even if you look at it as the potential on number 71, the potential annual maximum cost,
right?
Mm-hmm. Back to Bob's word, it's a crapshoot.
Yep. Yeah. But again, a fix for a maybe.
Yeah. Right.
Yep. You know, I'm in favor of taking the fix because I that's dollars in the hand. I've got those dollars. I might or might not spend the maybes. But
what can we control?
That's why I control today.
Do we need to has Joan reviewed this? I just
she did some with Don, I think, okay, on the phone, right? You talked to Joan.
Yep.
I guess I don't know where her hit. I mean, she has a better handle on this than you, and she read them than I do. And you guys who are on the committee.
So do you need a specific plan today other than a commitment?
I think they probably do, don't you?
Commitment.
Well, yeah, these are good till the 31st. These are from the stopping the underwriting. Again, it's from our point of view, it's just so we don't have the underwriting, any more underwriting from the insurance company's point of view.
So we'd have to call a special meeting if we didn't do today.
Well,
type of thing.
Yeah, what do you think, Troy? We're looking at the numbers. And
financially, what would Joan's suggest to be yours?
Well, I don't know for sure. I wish she was here and she'd have given me some guidance, but she did not.
When I talked to Joan, I just told her that the numbers look like they ought to move up to 60,000, and she didn't say one thing one way or the other. She said that'll be up to the board. So.
You know, she did express a concern that your numbers aren't quite what our actual numbers are here. So that's
that was the employee numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's
that doesn't
change the hard numbers.
The hard
in terms
numbers
of the
here.
Cost
okay.
Or, you know,
okay.
You
know. All right.
But that's why we want to get an approval so that we can stop that underwriting. Again, it does not stop you. It doesn't encumber you to the carrier. It encumbers the carrier to you. They stop underwriting. Something happens, you have a catastrophic claim in February, the rates are going to stay the same. And that has happened, by the way.
Oh, sure. Always expect the unexpected.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I guess by looking at, I think going from that 50 to that 60, and I know the cash flow standpoint of it, but I think it would probably, the difference that you're looking at, like I said, you just don't know what's going to happen per employee. But it looks like to me that, if things are tight on the cash flow, I think H would work. Do you, Don?
Well, that's why we're saying that. If you look at line 80, because you mostly have singles, actually you're what they're recommending that you're putting away for the expected is $2 a month less than the 50.
Yeah.
And again, you're talking about $60,000. Your laser drops $20,000, and the premium actually only goes up $5,000. It drops $40,000 from the renewal.
Oh yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to have to pony up more money fixed, and again, the claims are going to be what they are.
So one of the lasers is You said one of them was 330, but they total up to 330. Isn't that right? That makes
sense.
Well, yeah. You've got to remember that the specific is included in that. Okay. So that's why when you add, when you raise it, the specific that you're paying, it lowers the laser.
So you need a motion. I'm going to make a motion that we go with H then on your... Is that...
Yeah.
That covers that?
That would be our recommendation.
Okay.
And Matt's as well. Obviously, Matt's crunched all these numbers, and that would be his recommendation as well.
I'll second H. Bob, VC.
Thank you, Scott. Call the roll, please.
I think it makes the most sense.
Yeah, you too. You too.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
I don't know. Can I abstain? I don't feel like I understand this well enough. But, I mean, I'd like to get Joan's input on this, I guess.
Well, you said we're not obligated.
If you sign this today, you could switch it back before the first of the month to G from H. It's just the idea that you're saying, okay, we're going to go with one of these two, and we're going to do it by the end of the month, and so we want you to stop underwriting.
So basically what he's saying is by the 31st, if we had to have a special meeting for 5 minutes to change it, so be it. So at least that's something that they have in place, which would be H. And obviously, Joan will be back next, you know, if everybody needs Joan's. And I know Joan's full of knowledge, I get it. But I think as you talk to Joan, I just gather that H is...
She didn't have a problem with it, but she didn't endorse it. She just said, well, that would be up to the board.
Yeah, she doesn't endorse anything, really.
I mean, we basically...
She doesn't like to, you know, speak to the board.
Back on Friday?
Yeah.
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 In here Friday on the job, or
no, it'll be Monday probably. The 31st.
Yep. She's planning on being back here on Friday.
Is that enough time to have a special meeting if you didn't want to change it? What are you going to have, 2 business days?
3, 2.
I'm sure you can laptop this to her too, mm-hmm. and she you know, let her look at it as well.
And the 31st is next Monday.
Yeah. And you can laptop it, scan it, email it to her, and she has an issue with it.
I'll get you the digital copy as well.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Or can we do a special meeting next Monday? I mean,
if we needed to.
Yeah.
But at least get it to her now. Let her look at it. And if she thinks something differently than what we voted on, if we do decide to vote on H, then we can set up a special meeting to change it and have plenty of time to advertise it. Because
your disclosure doesn't say anything about the plan. Disclosure just says, here's what we know right now. People at work, under claims, all on. This is just having to do with the claims. You can pick your plan, however you want to pick your plan. This is just all about medical information. Medical information in your census.
You just need to know by the 31st on what plan.
Right.
Well, I don't even know that for sure, because as long as you're going to go with the carrier, it would be nice because they got to have some time to set it all up. But if we can at least get somebody to sign this to say, let's stop the underwriting. We'll verify with Matt, how much time you have to make that change, because I'm not comfortable with that because it's his negotiations with the carrier. But this doesn't say which plan. It just says you're going to renew.
It does say we're going to renew. So,
right.
I mean, do we even want to? I mean, why don't we just do it all at once, I guess, is part of my question, I guess. Why?
Well, because if we don't get this in, that's the concern.
They got to have a letter to go with.
Yeah.
Okay. I get it.
They want to lock us in.
They want to lock us in.
We want to make sure that you don't
so
have...
So, Janet, are you still abstaining?
Huh?
Are you still abstaining?
I'm abstaining, yeah. I'm abstaining.
Okay. Larry?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Troy?
Yeah. Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right.
That is a lot of information to cram at us in 30 or 40
minutes. And we do want to get that insurance committee a little more robust, because they're about meeting like at least every 6 months, maybe a quarter.
Right.
So And so we, everybody has a better handle on this rather than just
lots,
here you
lots
go.
Of numbers.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll make you an offer that you or any of you or any new members that when somebody's coming on the board, if you want to sit down and go through this stuff ahead of time, it makes sense.
I think Troy, I'd appreciate that. Yeah,
because
I think this is a lot of numbers and a lot of money.
Well, it is a lot. And as Scott pointed out, the board changes.
Yeah.
You bet.
Yeah.
So, all right. Thank you, Don.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for coming.
Next item.
Robert, will you get me a scan?
Under miscellaneous is Jolene.
Yep, I'll get them all signed. Okay.
Yep. With a road report.
Okay, we had 175 hours of grading, 10 hours of overtime, that was for snow removal, 7 hours cutting trees, 3 hours picking up trash, ran the magnet for 12 hours, 10 hours snow removal, 62 hours hauling gravel into the yard, 49 hours on sign repair, and a grading concern for Blyberg Road.
Oh, I see.
Any questions? Pretty straightforward. Last 2 weeks, nothing too exciting.
I like it. Nothing
good.
Nothing that really stands out too much.
Good, good. Thanks, Jolene. Okay. Are you around for the award or the motor grader bid
Brent? Here.
Okay.
I can.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's next item okay. on the agenda is the to award the bid for the motor grader. We had bids at last meeting, and I think it went back to the road.
Yeah,
committee.
Brent met with Troy and Larry, and to my understanding, they were looking at the 772 John Deere for $385,836.
It is a set thing we need.
Okay. Larry or Troy. Any comments on that?
Well, we had a meeting with Brent, and that's what we're leaning towards is the John Deere, the 772. Is that correct, Larry?
Powerful machines and cheaper.
Comparable and cheaper?
The Deere.
Okay.
I mean, that's a nutshell, really. And deliveries, same, I mean, or better, and built in the USA.
Well, those are all good.
Yeah.
So I'll make a motion, I guess, okay. for the 2022 John Deere 772, the GP, 275 horse for $385,836.
Okay.
Second.
Motion by Scott, seconded by Larry. Call the roll, please.
Janet?
Yep. Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
All right. Item C.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item C is Matt Roost, weed superintendent.
You do need to do that one. Just
oh, we do? Okay. So before I go to that, let me go back. I skipped back under new business. I skipped item C, which is the
D. Item D.
Oh, D. Okay. Approved chair to sign service agreement for county section 125 cafeteria plan with Mid-American Benefits, Inc. for 2022.
Didn't we just, I thought we did that. That's when I abstained from it, wasn't it?
No.
Oh.
The flex plan and those things, they had helped us with that. Because I don't want to.
So that's just.
So move for the chair to sign.
I'll second that. Call roll, please.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay. Item C under miscellaneous and old business, Matt Roost, weed superintendent, is not here, and he told us he had something going on today, but he did submit his report. Everything is current, up to date, and he had no issues to report. So I don't know that we need to approve that. Do we can just accept his report as written?
Requesting approval.
Yeah.
Okay, so we do need to approve.
Yep. I'll make
the motion. Okay, motion by Troy, second by Larry, to approve Matt's report.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Jesus, I'm looking at anything.
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Very much to it,
Larry?
I guess.
Yes.
Okay, that motion carried. Item E, Teresa Grove is here for her health department quarterly report.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi. I thought you guys forgot about us.
No.
We are back into doing COVID hot and heavy again, unfortunately. We have 760 new cases in the last 14 days in Dakota County.
How many?
760.
In 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks.
What was it before that? I mean, it 2 weeks before that.
It was probably 240.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it the new variant?
It's both. Yeah. Yep. We've given 297 VFC shots, 578 COVID shots, and we've done 148 COVID testing. We did get a new grant the other day that we are getting $23.46 per COVID test that we're doing. So that's helpful because we did 211 so far in January.
Wow.
How many of those people wind up out of the hospital?
From our county, we average about 4 to 5 a day in the hospital. Yeah. Yep. So that's, when it was going on strong before, we were probably 15 to 20 in the hospital. So, yeah, it's a lot better.
No, not quite as serious as it was.
I think it's the booster helps or the shots help, so... Any questions about anything?
No. Thanks for
thanks
you do and all you girls.
Yeah. It's fun.
Thank you.
Thank you for all you do.
All right. Item F is approve and adopt and approve chair to sign Nebraska extension in Dakota County Constitution and bylaws. We have some extension visitors today. Welcome.
We want Tammy up here, too. Where's Tammy at?
So, thank you for allowing us to come and address you today. My name is Amy Topp. I am an interim engagement zone coordinator here on behalf of Carol today, who is out sick. Mary Ann is here. She is the Dakota County Extension Board Chair as well. So she has gone through this process with Carol and the other board members. For the last several months, adopted. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that they did as a local extension board was to go through their constitution and bylaws, and I feel like you may have all received an electronic copy, or maybe not. Okay. Constitution and bylaws, and just updated. Basically, it hasn't been done since the 90s, and so the university is just asking that we all go through and update, see if there's any changes. Oh, most of that deals with
the names,
just wording and how we refer to things right now. So Mary, I don't know if you have anything specific.
No, it's mostly the name and some wording, and because it used to say University of Nebraska Extension or something, or yeah. Anyway, now it's the Board of
Regents.
Board of.
So we, in addition to the local constitution and bylaws for Dakota County, we are also asking each county, and we're going to try to be like maybe every 10 years instead of letting it go so long, to come and revisit it. So we're kind of on, Dakota County would be the first in our 9-county area to go through this process. We're going to try to do like 3 a year in our 9-county area. So we're asking that you would review and look at the interlocal agreement, and there's an addendum with the interlocal agreement with the Board of Regents, UNL Extension, and Dakota County, because we do have one assistant that's located in Dakota County, Brenda Sale, who's working with the NEP program there. So some counties have that, some counties don't, as part of this process. So with that, I also want to thank you as on behalf of Nebraska Extension for all the support that we know that Dakota County receives for the programming that they do here. So we really do appreciate and recognize.
Well, we appreciate you all what you guys do. And the thing is, the Extension Office, I don't think a lot of people understand what they all do. It's pretty extensive.
Yeah.
It's very extensive. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I spent some time over there, you know, when we were talking about moving them back and forth from over that building over here. But you really get to learn what they do, and they do a lot. There's a lot involved.
There's eight different programming areas, so yes, there's a lot, you know, involved in. Yeah.
You paused there for a second when I said that. You know, I was waiting for an answer.
I know. I think that's.
I just had to pause, and all of a sudden, thinking, oh, don't they?
That's very good. I just appreciate that acknowledgement.
Yeah. No, yes. It's yes. It's more extensive than what everybody thinks.
So the sheet that you said, the summary sheet here says the university recommendation is that both documents are reviewed by the county attorney and then taken to the county commission for approval. So are they all okay?
There's one misspelling on the bylaws.
Okay.
It looks like page 3B, subsection D. 4 lines down at the end, it says carrying on. I think that should be carrying is probably the intent there.
Okay.
But
okay.
Other than that, it's fine.
Okay. Very good.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve the Constitution bylaws with the correction that Kim noted.
And then will you do the interlocal agreement and addendum separately?
Is that a separate item?
Yeah, yes. F and G is two separate.
That's a separate item,
yeah.
I think.
I'll second F, all right?
Yeah.
Thank you, Janet and Scott, on item F to approve.
F is in fun.
Yes.
Having fun.
All right, Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
All right, thank you. And now G. I'll make a motion to approve.
Bob, I'll second. You go ahead, Troy.
Seconded by Troy.
Scott?
You bet.
Janet?
Yes, was that in this packet? I didn't see that one.
Larry?
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes. Thank you.
So, I have one place for Bob to sign here for the signature,
okay.
But the rest will come through you via DocuSign. The interlocal will come that way.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to do that now?
I can do it.
Or do you? Okay.
I can do it.
Okay.
Everything's DocuSign.
It is.
I know, right?
With your finger?
The thing is, they know what your signature is somehow.
So, Amy, can you kind of
recognize sometimes?
Yes.
Sign
the whole copy.
Yes.
Does that need to be amended before we sign it, though?
I haven't had to write 2022 yet.
Thank
That's
you.
All good. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for
what
you do. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Item H is the county board quarterly visit to the jail. So we can back to that and move on to Randy. You going to take us over there?
I'll walk you over there.
Thank you.
Are we going to do the
immigration first?
Yeah.
But we won't adjourn, though, from that. We get a recess?
You're right. We're going to go to commissioner and committee reports next. Anybody? Committees?
Insurance committee.
Insurance committee?
And quite a few people showed up. It was pretty, it was good. To
I heard it was very extensive.
It was. It was a couple hour meeting, and it was good to get to know everything. Not everything, but just concerns, comments.
Okay.
Something we're going to keep trying to do, too, every 6 months or something.
All right. Larry, anything?
Planning and zoning, county planning and zoning was at the meeting, and very well known. Anything that would, at us would be a subdivision that Kramer wants to do, you know, was discussed we really don't have much to do with it. We're not doing any maintenance or no nothing. It's private and so on.
Okay. Janet, anything?
Yeah, I went to the Region 4, which is our mental health board area regional group. We spend about $41,440 annually for those services, but we have Heartland Counseling right here in Siouxland that actually gets they contract for $478,000 come back in the form of support for that, for the Fulton County Office of Heartland Counseling for that $40,000. So it's money well spent. And then the other meeting I was at this week was the Nebraska Los Hills RC&D. I don't know if anybody's been out to the Pump and Pantry in Jackson. We established a tourism spot there, and we stocked it with all kinds of brochures for Cramper Lake and all kinds of things for Northeast Nebraska. Ponca Park, Veterans Memorial, lots of things. Nebraska sites for tourism. And then also this fall, or actually this spring, we'll be doing an e-waste collection here in Dakota City, which is phones and printers and things like that. And then in the fall, we'll be doing a household hazardous waste collection in Jackson. So we'll have two recycling collection opportunities in Dakota County from the RC&D, as well as the tourism.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Scotty?
Something I can't remember, though.
Okay.
Whatever. There was something.
It's there somewhere.
I don't know. Thank you.
Just a quick question. Tomorrow night at 5:30, I have a conflict with a couple meetings. That call. Scott,
Kenny Baker?
Yeah, can you attend that CO2 meeting?
I
at some point? It's
yep.
5 to 7
yep.
at the Legion.
You've talked to Kenny as well, though, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. So I got a call about that CO2 pipeline and not for it.
They're not really letting a lot of information out on it, to my recollection. Even talking to the landowners that they want to run this through, they ain't giving them a whole lot of information.
Right. Well, so yeah, they're going to have a meeting and come and tell them that they're going to, oh, by the way, we're going to just do it anyway if you guys won't let us do it. And Kenny realizes that he thinks that they're just having the meeting. So it might be...
Woodbury did it
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, so that might not be very a pleasant meeting. But anyway, it's 5 to 7. If you could just, if you would, at some point, just okay. Pop in there. Because
yep.
I have a VF or the veterans meeting at 5:30 at the Legion in South Sioux. So if you do that,
yep.
I'll do that. And then one other thing is the I didn't realize I committed to Leadership Dakota County for just a 10-15 minute presentation on county business on February 10th, I believe. Any volunteers to take my place?
On February 10th?
February
10th. Leadership, where's that at?
I think it's at in Jackson. They have their class that day in Jackson. At maybe the Legion or something like that. I'm not exactly sure on the time of our... It says 11 to 4, but anybody...
I live in Jackson. I could maybe do it if I knew what time it
okay.
was.
Okay, so you're a maybe. If I get you, I think it's the 10th, Janet.
Okay.
At like 11 to 4.
Okay.
And then after that, I think they're moving to the... Lariat afterwards, so I don't know, it might be.
What's that?
You can walk up from there.
I think it's that they have it's a roping place or something. I don't know. Maybe they might serve barley pop or something there. I don't know. But anyway, Janet, I'll let you know on that. So that is it for Commissioner. Item 6, mail and or emergency business. Sheree, anything down there?
No.
Nope. Okay. So we can't adjourn because we're going to go to the jail, but we need a BOE meeting. Christy's been patiently waiting for us. So Troy, as the current BOE chair, I will turn it over to you.
Okay.
call the meeting to order. We already did the Pledge of Allegiance. Roll call.
Troy?
Here.
Bob?
Here.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Here.
Current copy of the Open Meeting Acts is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board Meeting Room is available for review by all citizens in attendance. The Dakota County Board of Equalization reserves the right to adjust the order of items and on the agenda if necessary. Number one is reorganization. A, we need a nomination for chairperson 23-156. And Scott, I would nominate you.
Scott does not want it. Scott does not want it.
I second.
No, Scott does not want it.
You're the best at that.
You're the vice chair. You move up to the chair.
No.
You don't want to do it, Scott?
I really, honestly, I mean, I've done it before and I would do it again, but I really... You know, that's a suicide mission. You know that, right?
Yeah, you gave it to me last time.
Well, it all depends what's going on for the year. It can be a suicide mission.
I did it last year. You can do it this year.
Yeah, but...
Many of these positions are.
But this
oh,
is,
yes. Just being a board member.
Yeah.
So... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not going to...
So you're going to abstain from...
Are you going to...
Or you do your diamonds, you're not interested.
Can you turn that down, Kim?
Let's just keep the ball rolling. I guess I'll do it. Yes, whatever. Yes. Yes.
Good job, Scott.
Yeah, okay. Whatever.
Thank you very much.
Whatever.
Thank
you. You're really fast about it, too.
And,
that's what
I like. And you're good. You're good with people and talking.
No, I'm not. I'm shy.
Just like that.
Shy.
Okay. Attaboy, Scott.
Okay, let's, on the reorg, let's go to nomination for vice chair.
I think we have to vote on you, don't we?
I think you're, oh, didn't you already?
No. Okay. Gotta go.
I made the motion, but I need a second.
Troy.
Well, Larry, I heard from everybody.
Oh, you did, okay.
We're all encouraging.
Okay, Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yeah, bad.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Okay, now that I'm the chairperson of the Board of Equalization, I want a nomination. I need a nomination for the vice chair. I'm gonna make a motion to have Larry Avanishis be my vice chair. I think it'd be awesome for him.
Oh, I'm not gonna be here.
And they can be the vice chair. Guess what?
I'll second that.
Okay, fair enough. We got a motion by Scott and a second by Bob. Will you call roll, please?
All right, Scott.
Absolutely.
Janet.
Yes.
Larry.
No.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
All right, we got that all set. Myself as the chair.
Got the first half of the year, I think I'm going to be gone a lot.
Yeah.
I'll be gone the second half. That's all good.
At least I'm going to find out when you're not going to be.
All right, consent agenda items. We got the approval of the previous minutes on the December 27th, and then we got the approval of the time of regular board and equalization meetings, which... it has a note of February 7th hearing scheduled at 3:30.
Can I implant something?
Absolutely.
Christy and I sat here through all of the board meetings for Board of Equalization, and we're the only two that are here usually for the Board of Equalization meetings. Is there a reason why it can't be moved up to before the board meeting?
Just because it doesn't take very long.
Because she had to.
I had an appointment at 5.
Yeah,
I
mean,
I had an appointment at 5:15.
Well, it's a big deal.
What maybe you want to be vice chair?
What's the guy?
I'm already upset, but they already hate me.
You've already said it.
But is there a reason why we can't move it up?
For February 7th.
I mean, our office is
closed. Oh,
I mean, it's a reorg.
Yeah. Oh, I understand. I get it.
Did we set the BOE time then as well? Or we set a board meeting, right? There was BOE in there as well.
Yeah.
You two before, I think, didn't it?
With the
with the
chair having the discretion to adjust the order, does that fall into, you know, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I get it.
I mean,
too.
I don't know.
I remember trying to change something in that
when
order
did you
one
set
time,
them
and I can't remember what the reasoning
meeting
was.
You guys
have
the minutes from the last meeting.
I didn't
bring that minute.
I thought it was, it was the first one in January, right?
Yeah.
So 2 weeks ago.
What time did you set those?
At 3.
And then usually,
no board.
Well, it used to be a three until 2 years ago.
Do you have the minutes in your packet?
So, I don't know.
And then we changed it to one.
It depends on what you said.
Yeah.
Do you have the, does anybody have the minutes?
Larry, you do. Can I see your minutes from the last meeting? Well, that's the agenda. I need the...
Oh.
They've been running late. I know they've been running late.
Can we go to Don?
Meetings will be held on Monday or Tuesday, 3 o'clock.
I guess it's the same deal.
Don't you get them?
Oh, they're in there.
I see Board of Commissioners set for three, so I don't see where you set this one.
I don't think we did, to be honest with you.
Okay.
So I think we can...
I was going to say, do you want to set it before?
Yeah, can we set it for...
259?
Can we set it for...
I mean, seriously, that'll start first, and obviously the commissioner meeting will start right after. Mm-hmm. So why not 259 is when the Board of Equalization starts?
Or 245 or something?
Whatever.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, how about 245?
Yeah, that sounds good. Because I've seen a lot of times where it was like the meeting can start at 3:01,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Board of Equalization.
How about 245?
Yeah.
245?
Okay.
That way... Because a lot of times, or most of the time, it's you know, boom, boom. And
well, what about the people that want to come, though, for the regular meeting?
They'll be here at 3.
3 is the regular meeting at 2:45.
Mm-hmm. So they usually sit here for the whole
meeting. You'd never get done with when we go in the spring of the year.
Well, we have special
meetings
for protest, usually.
That's separate, right?
Yeah,
that's separate.
Yeah. They set different meetings for those.
That's in July, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do this here then. Okay, let's just set. Okay, we're going to set. They're going to approve the time of regular Board of Equalization meetings, and I think at 2:45 before the county board meets.
How do we know if there's going to be BOE or not? We'll know because we don't have one of those every time.
There isn't. I mean, there's not every meeting.
Okay, but when there is, we'll.
We'll meet at 2:45. Okay. If not, we'll meet
after
at 3.
After the February 7th meeting, because that's already been advertised for 3:30.
Okay. So, the February 7th has been advertised for 3:30.
Okay. Starting the 22nd, then.
So, 24th, start
20, or, sorry, 21st. Or, no, the 22nd.
22nd, if there's a meeting. Not always.
Yeah, right, if there is one. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So let's, I need a motion on the consent agenda items for the approval of the minutes and then the time.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay. Bob, motion. Second. Troy, will you call roll, please, on the consent agenda items?
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, new business. We got a hearing for the Northeast Nebraska Community Action Partnership. It looks like they got an exemption on a couple vehicles for nonprofit organizations, a 2016 van, ending in GR, VIN number GR108050, and number two, they got a 16 caravan as well, VIN number ending in GR102859. They're used for the staff and for the Head Start program. It comes recommendation of Don Muscat, the treasurer.
I'll move to approve.
Okay.
Or Janet.
Okay, we got a motion by Bob and a second by Janet to approve the exemptions.
Thank you.
Thank you. We call roll, please.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay, B, Christy, the list of corrections.
Did I do that wrong?
Exemptions.
What? Was that here?
Real estate, personal property. Qualifying organizations, applicants, and recommendations.
No.
For either taxable or exempt. You'll notice I skip a lot of words when I do.
So the first one was the new applications for exemptions. We had Tulane Community Health applied this year. They're brand new. Filing. They're not brand new, but filing. And the Wat Bedarms of Siouxland, they bought some ground, and that's new for this year, too.
Okay. Any questions for Christy on that? I think it's pretty cut and dry, right? Any questions? Any questions?
No.
Do we need a motion on that or not? Should we just present?
Yeah, I think it has to be approved by the board. There's two forms that'll need signed.
Okay. Okay, I got a motion by Troy and a second by Larry. Will you call roll, please?
Troy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yeah.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Ed.
I thought we already did Larry. Yeah, he did a second. That's right. Yeah. Okay, the assessor requesting approval of tax list corrections.
Yes. 9933 is for Omadai Lodge. They didn't get their partially exempt. Theirs didn't go on the computer right, so I corrected theirs. Frank Nelson, again, for his homestead exemption. The state changed it again, so he's back to 100%.
Is Frank still living?
Yeah,
still. Love that guy. Still, I didn't know he's still living.
Still alive. The school had some ground that should have been exempt, and for some reason in 2019 it did not get on the tax rolls exempt, so we did a correction on that. And also for 2020, same piece of ground.
Is that what you were talking about today, Christy?
No, different that was one, something else.
Different one, okay.
Yes.
All right.
I don't know how that's even feasible, but whatever.
Okay.
So these are states.
The first, the homestead exemption's a state one. They tell me what to do. The other two are, Omadai was just a mistake. It didn't get in the computer right. And the other two somehow got overlooked. It should have been exempt. It's part of the parking lot at the school.
Okay, any questions for Chrissy? Otherwise, any of the motion for the two corrections and then the one homestead for Frank?
I'll motion to approve.
Okay, we got a motion by Bob and a second by Larry on the corrections. Will you call roll, please, Sheree?
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Okay, any mail emergency business to your recollection? Anyone?
Jeremy?
Thank you. We'll see you at 2:45 someday, all right?
Yeah.
All right, then public comment. I don't think there's any there. So we are going to adjourn the Board of Equalization and turn it back over to Bob.
We are off and running.
I got to excuse myself. I'm going to pick grandkids at the 5.
Oh, okay. You're right on time. Hope you're not going to go very far, really.
Well, I got to go over there.
Get
rolling too,
actually.
You can go. The three of us can go.
Yeah, we'll do a quick job.
Yeah, we'll do a quick
stop group. $270. The mail and two-inch overlay.
$270? From Keene all the way to the airport?
That was this year's price now. The oil, with the price way shit's going, he said that it could be 10% for sure higher.
$27,000. So, do you agree that it needs?
Is that yours? Is that your stuff?
Yeah, I'm going to come back.
You're going to come back.
Yeah, it does.
This is Mike's pen, I think.
What's that, Larry?
It does, but I mean, it's not an emergency, but it sure needs to get.
Did you see in front of my house my mailbox just a crack that went across there?
Although we will. Oh, you haven't?
No.
Well, just fine. I already called John, told him I'd bring you over, and he's going to show you through it.
You know, if you do something bad, they could arrange a special for you.
I don't know if we have any open beds.
Oh, really? Right now. We're going to get back in here, right?